It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
But the point here is that the 65% subsidy helps people when they are unemployed, when they don't have income, and they can maintain their group health insurance so that their health conditions don't become worse and that they can continue to get the preventive health care, prescription drug coverage that they need.
Jill Hankin from the Virginia Poverty Law Center explains new help for workers who have lost their jobs and could be eligible for a 65% federal subsidy for up to 9 months to keep their employer-provided health insurance. And during this week's question and answer session, you'll find out how a do-it-yourself will could be do-it-yourself legal malpractice. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 45, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Foreclosure activity in the Richmond area rose 69% from a year ago, worse than the state as a whole, but better than the national average, according to a report released by RealtyTrack, an online foreclosure researcher. One in every 255 households in Richmond, or a total of 2,001, had trouble making their mortgage payments during the first quarter of 2009. The Richmond area now is ranked number 96 among 203 metropolitan areas in foreclosure activity, up from number 153 a year ago. In response to the growing foreclosure problem, a new law now requires landlords to give written notice to their tenants of any mortgage default, notice of mortgage acceleration, or notice of foreclosure sale within 5 business days after written notice from the lender is received by the landlord. Under current law, the tenant's first notice of a foreclosure problem usually comes from the new owner and only after the foreclosure sale. The new law takes effect July 1, 2009. In other news, with the economy on the ropes, hundreds of thousands of consumers are turning to debt settlement companies to escape a crushing pile of bills. As many as 2,000 such companies now operate in the U.S., triple the number of a few years ago. Consumers sometimes get help, but more often a company collects a large fee, usually 15% of the total debt, and does little or nothing for the consumer. Companies promise to strike a bargain with creditors and settle for 40 cents or less on the dollar. But the company's data obtained by the Texas Attorney General's office show that more than 80% of the debts don't settle, and those that do are for amounts larger than the promised 40 cents on the dollar. In Virginia, only an attorney licensed by the Virginia State Bar or an agency licensed by the State Corporation Commission may offer a debt settlement plan. To find out who is licensed, call the State Corporation Commission's Bureau of Financial Institutions at 371-9967 or toll-free at 1-800-552-7954. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright.
Turn me around, turn me around.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is repossession. Repossession is when a creditor takes back property you are buying, such as a motor vehicle. A creditor may not repossess unless you're more than 10 days late with a payment. A creditor does not have to give you any notice before a repossession and may do so any hour of the day or night. However, a creditor may repossess only if that can be done without a breach of the peace. If you object to a repossession in any manner, the creditor must leave. Unless there is a court order, you have not committed a crime if you refuse to allow a repossession. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and repossession is this week's legal term of the week.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer, and we're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Cindy, and I'm from Henrico County.
Thanks for being on the show, Cindy. What question do we have this week?
My question is about wills. What I want to know specifically is, can I purchase a will at a local store and fill in the blanks and it be considered legal in the state of Virginia? And secondly, if it can, is there anything that I need to know about that specifically?
Cindy, that's a good question. And I would approach the whole issue of buying some sort of legal form like a will at a local store and filling in the blanks with a great deal of caution. It could be correct, but you don't really know unless it's been reviewed by a Virginia attorney, or at very minimum, prepared by a Virginia attorney with very specific instructions for Virginia law. Basically, under Virginia law, there are two types of wills. There's what's called a holographic will, which is a handwritten will, and then there's the printed will that has to be properly signed and authenticated. The holographic will is very much disfavored. It's simply a will written in someone's handwriting, and there are specific rules that deal with that. It has to be signed at the end, and there can't be anything that comes after the signature. And if there is, it can be tossed out as not a valid will. That's why most people use printed wills. Now, most printed wills will have what's called a self-proving clause, and a Virginia lawyer will know the exact language to put in the self-proving clause. The self-proving clause has to recite the fact that the person making the will, called the testator if you're male or testatrix if you're female, is present in the room at the same time in the same place with two disinterested witnesses, that is, two people who are not named or mentioned in the will at all, along with a notary public. So all four people have to be present at the same time, at the same place. The testator swears that this is his will and signs it in the presence of the other two witnesses, and then the notary public notarizes the signature of all three of those people. Now, it's possible that the will form that you buy at a stationery store would have a valid self-proving clause. The problem is you don't really know. The other thing you don't know is if the will tries to do anything complicated, again, you don't know if that's going to stand up under Virginia law. Typically, a simple will, you're going to simply list your property, who gets it, who's the beneficiary, who's the alternate beneficiary if you outlive the primary beneficiary. Similarly, you're going to name an executor to take care of the estate after you've passed, and you'll have an alternate executor in case you outlive the executor. But you're going to want to put stuff in there about whether a bond should or shouldn't be required for the executor. And all of that has to be done just right, otherwise the will can be challenged. So I would approach it with a good deal of caution. Were you thinking of using such a form will for your own purposes?
Yes, I was considering it for my own purposes.
And again, You could certainly buy something like that and, you know, take it to an attorney. An attorney is not going to charge very much for doing a will completely from scratch. I mean, it could be $50 or $100. An attorney might charge a whole lot less just to review something to see if it's something that's going to work under Virginia law.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your question. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. The new American Recovery and Reinvestment Act provides a subsidy to help involuntarily unemployed workers keep their employer-based group health insurance coverage. This law helps certain workers who qualify for federal COBRA coverage. In April of this year, the Virginia General Assembly adopted mini-COBRA legislation to also allow employees in small businesses receive the new federal subsidy. We're here at the Virginia Poverty Law Center speaking with attorney Jill Hankin, who is a statewide expert on health law, and we'll be talking about the stimulus bill that helps laid-off workers keep their group health insurance. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Hi, Marty. Thank you.
Let's start off with the basic question. Tell us exactly, what is COBRA?
COBRA is the federal law that allows people who leave jobs in businesses with 20 or more workers to continue to receive their health insurance through their former employer's health plan. And they can generally keep that group health insurance for up to 18 months, sometimes longer. And the right to continue coverage applies both to workers and their dependents, like their children and their spouses. Normally, people who receive COBRA coverage have to pay the full cost of premiums plus a small administrative fee up to 2% of the premiums. But the important news is that the federal stimulus law provides a 65% subsidy for up to 9 months to certain laid-off workers to help them pay for federal COBRA benefits.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, the federal COBRA only applies to businesses with 20 or more workers. I gather there's something in Virginia called the mini COBRA law. Could you tell our audience about that?
Well, the mini COBRA law in Virginia is actually a fairly new extension, because previous to April of this year, small businesses, and that is businesses with 19 or fewer workers, only would offer the possibility of a 3-month continuation of health insurance coverage, and only if the worker paid the entire 3 months of premiums in advance. That was not very helpful to people who worked in small businesses. But the General Assembly in April adopted the governor's recommendation to change this provision so that workers in small businesses could take advantage of the new 65% premium subsidy that's offered by the federal government. So now this new law allows certain workers to receive the federal subsidy for a 9-month period.
So I gather it doesn't matter the size of your employer. You may be eligible for the 65% federal subsidy, whether it's 20 or more workers or 19 or fewer workers. Tell us more specifically, who is eligible for the subsidy?
Well, like other aspects of the federal stimulus bill, this provision is targeted at people who are unemployed through no fault of their own. So people can get the subsidy if they meet all of the following conditions. They have to be involuntarily laid off between September 1st of 2008 to December 31st of this year. They also have to have an annual income during the 2009 tax year that doesn't exceed $145,000 for individuals and $290,000 for joint filers. And they have to be among the population of people who would ordinarily be eligible for continued health coverage under COBRA or Virginia's mini COBRA law. And one of those requirements is that they can't be eligible for other group health coverage, for example, through their spouse's employer or through the Medicare program. So this is a targeted subsidy for people who meet that criteria.
So I gather that because it's targeted at people who are involuntarily unemployed, if a person lost his or her job and applied for unemployment compensation and was disqualified because of a discharge for misconduct or was disqualified because of a voluntary quit without good cause, they would not be eligible for the federal subsidy.
Correct. If someone leaves their job voluntarily or was fired for what's called gross misconduct, they would not be entitled to this subsidy.
What about people who lose state or federal government jobs?
Well, they are generally eligible to continue their coverage under other laws that are very similar to the COBRA law. And if they do, they will also be able to receive the 65% subsidy.
And what does that 65% subsidy exactly cover?
Well, it pays for 65% of the cost of health insurance premiums. As you know, health insurance premiums can be quite high, and people receiving COBRA assistance generally have to pay the full cost of that premium. So the 65% subsidy is a major contribution towards the cost of that. And again, it could also cover the worker's spouse and dependents who are also receiving the group health coverage.
And for how long is this subsidy going to be available? Is it absolutely the full 9 months, or could it be shorter than that?
It can be shorter for 9 months, for example, if the individual becomes eligible for another group health plan. I mean, hopefully some of the unemployed will find new jobs, and if those new jobs offer group health coverage, or if your spouse gets a new job that offers group health coverage, then the subsidy will end.
Now, we're calling this a subsidy. That sounds like it could possibly at some point have to be repaid. Will people have to repay the subsidy at some point?
Only some people who have the highest income in this group that we talked about. If an individual has income between $125,000 and $145,000, they would have to repay a portion of the assistance that they received. For joint filers, that amount is between $250,000 and $290,000. There's a sliding scale applied, so you would have to repay. But the point here is that the 65% subsidy helps people when they are unemployed, when they don't have income, and they can maintain their group health insurance so that their health conditions don't become worse and that they can continue to get the preventive health care, prescription drug coverage that they need.
Now, we're talking right now about an 8-month look-back period because people who were unemployed as far back as September 2008 could be eligible for the subsidy. So how will people get the subsidy? How are they going to even know that it's available?
Well, all workers who were laid off since September 1st, 2008 are entitled to get notices from their former employers about this new subsidy, and they should have received this notice in mid-April. And once the worker gets this notice, then they have 60 days to actually apply for the COBRA coverage and the subsidy. And if they choose to get their continuing coverage, they will pay 35% of the cost of the premium, and the employer or the insurance company will get repaid for the remaining 65%.
And we talked about an 8-month look-back period, all the way to September 2008. Does the assistance cover that entire period, or does the subsidy begin at a somewhat later date?
My understanding is that it could go either way, that they can choose to pay workers can choose to pay the 35% subsidy and get insurance retroactively, or can get the insurance prospectively after they get the notice for a 9-month period.
Okay, now what if somebody has, over the past 4, 6, 8 months, been paying full premiums because they didn't know about the subsidy or because really the subsidy didn't even exist? Can they get some type of help there?
The individual is entitled to reimbursement of any excess amounts paid after February 17th of 2009, and they would get that reimbursement either from the employer or the health plan, or they can just apply the amount that they've previously paid towards future payments.
Now, is there going to be any problem with workers or the dependents who may have let their coverage lapse, and hence there was a break in coverage and now they want it? Is there going to be some sort of pre-existing condition exclusion problem?
No, the new law in the stimulus package specifically provides that if people respond to the notices they get about the COBRA subsidy within the 60 days and then re-enroll in their insurance, that in that situation there can be no pre-existing condition restriction applied.
And does this 65% subsidy affect any other type of government assistance? Is it counted as income in other government benefit programs?
No.
What if people are denied the COBRA subsidy? In other words, they respond to that notice within 60 days, they are for some reason denied, do they have some type of appeal rights?
Yes. Both the Department of Labor and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services are available to hear complaints or appeals if people are denied their COBRA subsidies.
And finally, where can people get more information?
Again, both the Department of Labor and the Department of Health and Human Services are working on this program, as well as our Virginia Bureau of Insurance. I'll give you the number for the Virginia Bureau of Insurance, which is toll-free 1-877-310-6560. Again, it's 1-877-310-6560.
Thank you very much. We have been speaking with Jill Hankin, an attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, about the new stimulus bill that helps laid-off workers keep their group health insurance and provide them a 65% subsidy for up to 9 months. Thank you very much for being on the program, Jill.
Thank you, Marty.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about the motor vehicle lemon law. The first tip is that the lemon law applies only to vehicles you bought new or bought used with the original warranty. You have lemon law rights for 18 months after the vehicle is delivered to you. The second tip is that you have lemon law rights if a problem affecting the drivability, use, value, or safety of your vehicle can't be fixed after 3 tries, or a serious life-threatening problem can't be fixed after 1 try, or your vehicle is out of service for a total of 30 days unless it couldn't be fixed due to things beyond the dealer's control. The third tip is that you must enforce your lemon law rights, either by using the manufacturer's informal procedure or by filing a lawsuit within 18 months after your vehicle is delivered to you. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Next week is Law Week, when dozens of private attorneys will phone hundreds of their colleagues to raise money for legal aid. Join us next week when Henry McLaughlin, Executive Director, and Sheila Mant, Director of Fund Development, discuss Central Virginia Legal Aid Society's funding needs and what's being done to meet them. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.